Okay, in the words of Aretha Franklin, every chain has a weak link. Let's see which link's going to break first, and then it's going to start picking up speed here as far as the deep state being exposed. Welcome to Willie's World. I'm Willie. This is episode number, holy cow, 31, in honor of Aretha Franklin and the deep state. I'm calling this one Chain of Fools. Well, speaking of fools, Manafort was indicted on 8 counts. And I know it's going to shock people, but in my opinion, the real problem for the prosecutor, special prosecutor, is he probably doesn't know anything, at least when it comes to collusion. But they had to put, you know, maximum pressure on him to try to squeeze whatever they could out of him. And here's the way I see it. The only hope he has is getting a pardon. He's going to be doing life in prison without that. So the last thing he wants to do is roll in the president, his only hope. So I think he's just going to tough it out, and I think he will get pardoned. And then we have Mr. Cohen. Well, he was pressured with jail time also. He's got a wife and some kids, and you know, the prospects of spending time in jail is tough on him and his family. So I think he sort of agreed to say, well, Trump told him to do it. So here's the thing. If by some bizarre numbers crunching that I don't understand in the upcoming elections, if the Democrats take over the House, the first thing they're going to do is file for impeachment. And, the reason why I'm not too worried about that is, first of all, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to take the House or the Senate. And second of all, if it all happened in the House, in fact, voted for impeachment, it takes 2/3 of the Senate to actually do it. And that ain't going to happen. So Mr. Trump's going to be around for about 8 years. Well, what I want to do on this podcast is do a review of like how the mainstream media covers a week's worth of events versus Fox News and anybody else that's worth looking at. And then at the end of it, I'd like to pay a special tribute to Mr. John Brennan, one of the bizarrest CIA directors in history that never would have gotten the job except for Obama. So first up, let's see, who do we have first up here? Yes, let's check out Meet the Depressed and see what they say and how they view recent events coming up. A little clip of the intro to Meet the Depressed.
This Sunday, politicizing the Russia probe. President Trump revokes the security clearance of former CIA chief John Brennan.
Mr. Brennan has a history that calls into question his objectivity and credibility.
And threatens to do the same to other former officials who've criticized him.
Security clearances for those who still have them may be revoked.
And even for a current Justice Department official.
I think Bruce Orr is a disgrace. I suspect I'll be taking it away very quickly.
Brennan reacts.
I think this is an egregious act that flies in the face of traditional practice, as well as common sense, as well as national security.
Says Mr. Trump is abusing the power of his office.
He's drunk on power. He really is.
And calls the president's move an attempt to scare into silence others who might dare to challenge him. My guest this morning, the man at the center of the controversy, John Brennan. Plus, late word that President Trump's White House counsel, Don McGahn, has been cooperating extensively with Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. One prosecutor calls this like having keys to the kingdom. I'll talk to President Trump's current lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. Joining me for insight and analysis are Washington Post columnist Eugene Robinson, NBC News political reporter Carol Lee, Hugh Hewitt, host on the Salem Radio Network, and Yamiche Alcindor, White House correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. Welcome to Sunday. It's Meet the Press.
From NBC News in Washington, the longest-running show in television history, this is Meet the Press with Chuck Todd.
Good Sunday morning. No.
Well, there you have it. Up Chuck Todd hacks up a beauty. It's just mind-boggling how he phrases these introductions. The first thing he says is the Trump administration is politicizing the Russia probe. That's the most absurd thing you could possibly say, in my opinion. But then again, it's all pretty absurd. To express shock that he's considering firing Bruce Orr, who's actually currently working in the Department of Justice. Yeah, for me, the question is there anybody else left in the Department of Justice? Like, they're pretty much all the other ones have been fired. And then, of course, you can predictably expect that who's going to be a guest on his show? John Brennan. That's how the whole thing works. And lastly, he brings up Don McCann, who spilled his beans to the special prosecutor. That's what Trump told him to do. That's not even news. A masterful, if you could call it that, performance by Upchuck Todd. Up next, we have Deface the Nation. Let's see how they do.
Fighting a wave of negative publicity sparked by the release of a tell-all book, along with embarrassing secret audio recordings, President Trump tried to change the subject. He revoked the security clearance of one of his harshest critics, former CIA chief John Brennan. He threatened to do the same with another 9 national security officials he either disagrees with or fired. Among the dozens of former intelligence officials who swiftly condemned the president's action was former CIA director Leon Panetta. We'll hear from him. Our CBS News battleground tracker shows the race for control of the House could be shifting. We'll take a look at the critical role of female voters and the record-breaking number of women running for office. 2 Democrats, New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand and Virginia congressional candidate Jennifer Wexton, join us. Congresswoman Kristi Noem of South Dakota joins us with a Republican perspective. She could become her state's first female governor. It's all coming up on Face the Nation. Good morning.
Up next, we have Deface the Nation with Margaret Brennan. Actually, I've got a slim glimmer of hope for her and Channel 2, which occasionally seems to actually report on the news as it should be. Of course, you have to start out with the wave of negative attention and how the whole point of firing Brennan was to deflect from the wave of negative attention, you know, Amorosa and all that kind of stuff. Well, anybody who knows anything said, first of all, Brennan should never have ever been elected director of the CIA, but we're going to have a lot more to say about him at the end of this broadcast. And she talks about former intelligence agencies coming out to condemn the firing. Well, all these people, you know, are deathly afraid that they're going to lose their lingua franca, their security clearance, which allows them to work, basically, because people think that that's of some use, even though they never use it. So that's just the deep state protecting its own. But she does introduce, you know, a reasonable topic about females in the upcoming election and the record number of females running for office. That's definitely worth looking into. So they're probably the best of the mainstream media at this point, and it gives me a glimmer of hope. Not much glimmer up in the next one, Channel 7 and George Snuffleupagus. Stay tuned.
Starts right now.
I've never respected him. I've never had a lot of respect.
President Trump takes on outspoken critic and former CIA director John Brennan by taking away his security clearance.
He's using a security clearance of a former CIA director as a pawn. He's drunk on power.
Warns more could be coming.
James Clapper, James Comey, Michael Hayden.
Sparking a fierce backlash.
Me, this had an eerie memory of an enemies list.
The president is emboldened, unrestrained, punishing adversaries in unprecedented ways. Is it all about the Russia investigation? A move to bury those Omarosa headlines. How will Trump's actions affect America's security? Martha Raddatz takes those questions to the president's national security advisor, John Bolton, in a This Week exclusive.
Brennan has been a strong critic of the administration, but what does this have to do with protecting classified information?
Plus, insight and analysis from our powerhouse roundtable. And
we are sorry. I am sorry.
Another scandal consumes the Catholic Church.
He would always have his hands on me.
Decades of abuse, more than 1,000 victims, a circle of silence across Pennsylvania. How did the cover-up continue for so long? What must the church do now to recover? Questions this week for the Bishop of Pittsburgh, David Zubik. We'll break down the politics, smoke out the spin, the facts that matter this week.
From ABC News, it's This Week. Here now, Chief Anchor George Stephanopoulos.
Good morning. Another week, another norm shattered.
Up next, we have the one, the only George Snuffleupagus, which cracks me up because he's been a bag man for the Clintons ever since he was their dirty tricks chief operating officer when they were running for election. And he's been shilling for the Clintons and the Democrats ever since. And he stays on the air and people listen to him. So, of course, he's going to open up about the John Brennan getting canned, then some quotes by John Brennan, and talk about how there's more security clearance cancellations coming up, and the fierce backlash from the intelligence community, all of whom are like deep staters who are just afraid they're going to lose their meal ticket in the form of their security clearance, and that also might be exposed. But it's interesting that he should mention Senator Mark Warner, because he's on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and Senator Burr is the head of the committee, but he never appears on TV. Mark Warner always appears on TV, and he's always talking about there's more to come on the deep on the Russia investigation. We just can't reveal it right now, blah, blah, blah. But I'm totally convinced that he's a deep stater and that he's going to be exposed. As a matter of fact, his name just started to pop up in the records that are being delivered by Judicial Watch. So keep your eye on Mark Warner. He's going to be exposed pretty soon. Lastly, he always has this byline, we're going to smoke out the spin. It just cracks me up because the very definition of what he does is spin. Anyway, that's George Snuffleupagus. Up next, we got the State of the Union with Jake the Snake Tapper. So let's see how he sees the State of the Union.
Cooperating counsel. A bombshell report claims White House lawyer Don McGahn has been dishing to Robert Mueller's team for 9 months.
Don McGahn was the strongest witness for the president.
The president now turning up the heat on Mueller to wrap it up fast. Plus, war on intel. President Trump strips security clearance from a former CIA director.
I like taking on voices like that. I've never respected him.
And threatens others who criticize him. But intel leaders are not backing down.
He's drunk on power.
We'll be joined by three former top national security officials next. And leaning left, polls showing Democrats primed for a huge win in November. But is the party moving in the wrong direction?
The Democrat Party didn't necessarily change.
We'll talk to Red State Democrat and possible 2020 contender, Governor Steve Bullock of Montana.
Well, there you have Jake the Snake. The opening story is a blockbuster. Don McCann spills the beans to the special prosecutor. It's a non-story. He was told to talk to the special prosecutor about whatever he wanted to by the president of the United States. Where's the story? Next up is the war on intel. Well, don't forget that Trump's fighting for his life because the intel community, in conjunction with the Obama State Department officials and the CIA, Department of Justice, throw them all in there. They're trying to impeach him. And they present this as a story of him declaring war on the intel community. He's fighting for his life here. And then he introduces a story that's worth some coverage, is the Democratic Party, splitting, and is some of it going hard left, and what is their message? Are they going hard left? Are you kidding me? Is socialism hard left? Is communism hard left? The only thing they have is bashing Trump. They got nothing else, but he has to shill for the Democrats. That's how it works. Anyway, let's go on to Fox News next, and at least there's some hope, a lot of hope there.
President Trump puts critics in the intelligence community on notice as he pulls the security clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan and reviews the status of 9 others.
Security clearances are very important to me, very, very important. And I've had a tremendous response for having done that.
I think he's abusing the powers of that office. I think right now this country is in a crisis in terms of what Mr. Trump has done and is liable to do.
Is it an effort to protect the nation's secrets or an act of political revenge? We'll ask retired Admiral Mike Mullen, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Republican Senator Ron Johnson, chair of the Homeland Security Committee. Then,
our economy, our investors, our workforce are crushing it right now. We are crushing it.
We'll discuss the state of the Trump economy, an escalating trade war, and a possible government shutdown with White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney. Plus, a verdict is expected this week in the special counsel's case against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort.
I think it's a very sad day for our country.
We'll ask our Sunday panel what the Manafort verdict means for the future of Robert Mueller's investigation. All right now on Fox News Sunday. And
okay, that's Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, who I think is one of the better journalists out there today. And he just phrases the lead story as putting the intel community on notice, which seems to be appropriate since they ought to be scared. And he talks about, is it political revenge that's going on, which is the way the other networks were phrasing it. Trump's simply going to fire people that he doesn't like, that disagree with him, which is totally absurd. And he has his guest, Mike Mullen, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who I've always found to be somebody who seems credible from what I know and gives intelligent commentary. So that's a big plus from the other networks. They have a panel which usually includes one liberal. In many cases, it's Juan Williams. And I'm asking myself over and over again, what's Juan Williams doing there? I think they just have to have somebody on there to have a balance of opinion. And that works for me because the left commentators always come out as being pretty much nuts. So Fox News is basically what you got as far as getting a somewhat accurate picture of like what's going on in the world. Up next is something that I had to strap my chair in for, and it's the experience of Rachel Maddow on MSLSD. I'll let you listen to it, and then I'll try to make some sense out of it. But boy, I'm glad I strapped in for that one.
And thanks to you at home for joining us this hour. Today is August 15th, which means that tomorrow, August 16th, is the anniversary of this amazing document. You can see at the top there, it is dated August 16th, 1971. And then it says the top line on the left there, underlined, all caps, confidential. Memorandum, subject, dealing with our political enemies. This is a memorandum written on this date in 1971 by a man named John Dean, when John Dean was working as White House counsel to President Richard Nixon. So the job Don McGahn has right now for Donald Trump, John Dean had that job for Richard Nixon, and in that capacity, he wrote this confidential memorandum. Quote, this memorandum addresses the matter of how we can maximize the fact of our incumbency in dealing with persons known to be active in their opposition to our administration. Stated a bit more bluntly, how can we use the available federal machinery to screw our political enemies? Now, that is not me giving you a snarky modern paraphrase of something that appears more elegantly in this 47-year-old document. That's literally what John Dean wrote in this Nixon White House memo. How can we use the available federal machinery to screw our political enemies? And then he's got a proposal. Quote, after reviewing this matter with a number of persons possessed of expertise in this field, really, I have concluded that we do not need an elaborate mechanism or game plan. Rather, we need a good project coordinator and full support for the project. In brief, this system would work as follows. And then there's three bullet points. Number one, key members of the staff, and then he gives some examples, including our old friend Pat Buchanan, Colson, Dent Flanagan, Buchanan, that's Pat Buchanan, quote, should be requested to inform us as to who they feel we should be giving a hard time. Wow. Number two, the project coordinator should then determine what sorts of dealings these individuals have with the federal government and how we can best screw them. Forgive me, but that's literally what he says, how we can best screw them. For example, grant availability, if they have contracts, litigation, prosecution, etc. Number three, the project coordinator then should have access to and the full support of the top officials of the agency or department in proceeding to deal with the individuals. So this was the first term of the Richard Nixon administration. This also ended up being sort of part and parcel of their reelection campaign effort in 1972. This White House operation, they eventually turned toward Democrats who were running for Congress and the Senate. They turned to people who were associated with Democratic presidential campaigns, in addition to the enemies who they identified as people just critical of the administration in general. But this thing wasn't just a vague concept or a state of mind that they had as a presidential administration. This was a concrete plan with people assigned their parts in helping to carry it out, including specific named people in the administration who were charged with keeping up the target list, keeping the target list up to date, keeping it constantly updated. So the Nixon administration could, quote, maximize the fact of our incumbency. They could maximize the fact that they controlled the federal government and the presidency to hurt persons known to be active in their opposition to our administration. John Dean wrote that memo at the White House on tomorrow's date in 1971. Less than 2 years later, in the summer of 1973, John Dean decided that he was going to let the whole world know about that. Not only the plan in general, but specifically the constantly updated lists of enemies.
I do, of course, know, and as I have submitted in documents, other agencies were involved in seeking politically embarrassing information on individuals who were thought to be enemies of the White House. I might also add that in my possession is a rather, very much down the lines of what you're talking about, is a memorandum that was requested by me to prepare a means to attack the enemies of the White House. There was also maintained what was called an enemies list, which was rather extensive and continually being updated.
I'm not going to ask who was on it. I'm afraid you might answer. I wonder, are these documents that are in the possession of the committee?
No, but I'd be happy to submit them to the committee. They didn't fit within the request that I had with counsel as to the documents he wished to have produced. But if the committee does wish them, I'll be happy to submit them.
Mr. Chairman, I think the committee would like very much to have a copy of that memorandum.
All right, sir.
All right, sir. So there's John Dean, Nixon's White House counsel, saying, hey, you know, nobody asked me for this, but if you're interested in all this, like, abuse of power stuff, do you want to know about the enemies list that we've been continually updating at the White House and the ways we have both been scheming to and we've been using the power of the presidency to go after people who we considered to be the president's political enemies? Because I have that. Would you like that? And you hear the gasps in the committee room when he announces it and everybody's looking around and they don't know whether to laugh or barf or what. But John Dean did end up handing those documents over to the Watergate committee, and that whole scheme and scandal became part of the basis for the second article of impeachment against Richard Nixon, which is about abuse of power. So Nixon got caught red-handed with that, not just using the power of the presidency to, in their words, screw with his political enemies, but also plotting overtly to do that, or at least plotting covertly to do that, plotting among themselves. Right, writing these confidential memorandums, talking about it in these terms within the White House staff, committing it to writing. I mean, eventually it became a sort of perverse point of pride for people who ended up on those Nixon enemies lists, right? It meant you were important enough to have attracted the president's attention, if not affection. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. So it's sort of like, oh, I didn't know you cared aspect to being proud for ending up on one of those enemies lists. It meant you were important enough to bother the president enough that he decided to use the powers of his office to come after you. Point of pride for a lot of people in the end. I will venture a guess that that may be how it works out the second time around, now that we are living through a new iteration of this story again in 2018. Today, the White House announced that President Trump would strip former CIA Director John Brennan of his security clearance. But it turns out this is not a John Brennan story today. Turns out there's a whole list from this White House. John Brennan just happens to be the first man on the list.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to begin by reading a statement from the president. I've decided to revoke the security clearance of John Brennan, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. I am evaluating action with respect to the following individuals: James Clapper, James Comey, Michael Hayden, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Orr. Security clearances for those who still have them may be revoked, and those who have already lost their security clearance may not be able to have it reinstated.
To be clear, there are no specific allegations from the White House about the mishandling of classified information or the leaking of classified information or anything else like that. The mishandling or leaking classified information is a crime. This announcement from the White House today was not a criminal accusation. It was just an announcement of people who the president wants to go after. The White House has a new list. How does one get so lucky as to get on this list? Well, the first time the White House floated this idea, which was also in the White House briefing room a few weeks ago, they were actually pretty explicit as to what you have to do to get on this list.
Not only is the president looking to take away Brennan's security clearance, he's also looking into the clearances of Comey, Clapper, Hayden, Rice, and McCabe, making baseless accusations of improper contact with Russia or being influenced by Russia against the president is extremely inappropriate. And the fact that people with security clearances are making these baseless charges provides inappropriate legitimacy to accusations with zero evidence.
So again, there is no accusation from the White House that anybody's mishandling classified information or misusing their security clearance in some other way that you're not allowed to do with a security clearance. But the White House is now making clear, you criticize the president specifically with regard to Russia intervening to help him in his election, then they will use the power of the presidency to hurt you. They're going to strip your security clearance to try to discredit you as a critic of the president on Russia. I mean, at least when the Nixon White House did it, they had the decency to write confidential on top of their discussions of these sorts of things. We are not blessed in our era with the same set of subtlety or shame. Security clearances are a real thing. The CIA and all the other agencies who grant them or oversee them. In fact, they have full-fledged, well-established procedures to strip security clearances from people for cause, when there is cause to do so. None of those procedures were engaged here. Those procedures were not followed here. Those agencies were not involved. This was just directed personally from the White House, from the president himself, who's being hands-on here in the way that Nixon was, in a way that ended up being a real problem for President Nixon 40-plus years ago. You might remember from the Nixon tapes, from the Oval Office tapes, how Nixon talked about what he was looking for in an IRS commissioner, right? When he wanted that IRS commissioner to be willing to do things to his enemies and not do things to his friends. I mean, the president being so hands-on on these kinds of punishment actions from the White House, this is part of what got Nixon the second article of impeachment.
I want to be sure he is a ruthless son of a bitch, that he will do what he's told, that every income tax return I want to see, I see, that he'll go after our enemies and not go after our friends. Not as simple as that. If he isn't, he doesn't get the job.
I want to be sure he's a ruthless son of a... that he'll do what he's told. Every income tax return I want to see, I see. He'll go after our enemies and not go after our friends. It's as simple as that. If he doesn't do that, he doesn't get the job. Nixon, 45 years ago, was hands-on and directly involved, directly in control of coordinated efforts inside his White House to make sure he was using the power of the presidency in an illegal way. He was using the power of the federal government. What did Dean call it? The fact of our incumbency. Using his control of the White House and of the federal government to go after our enemies and to not go after our friends. Well, this statement today about stripping security clearances from people specifically because they've criticized the president or the administration, this statement today, remarkably, was issued very specifically in the president's name in a way that is unusual for this White House or for any other. I mean, the president's press secretary did not go out there and announce in her own words this new policy, this new action by the administration, she went to the podium announced that she was reading a statement from the president. The White House then released this document, a PDF document, which was explicitly distributed as a statement from the president, written in the first person and ascribed to the president himself and only. Now, this statement from the president today obviously becomes an instant historical document. I have to admit, I kind of wish they had waited until tomorrow to release it on August 16th instead of August 15th, so the parallel would have been all the more perfect in terms of that August 16th enemies list memo from John Dean back in 1971. I think a day or so either side of the historical parallel, I will still take it.
Yeah, there you have it, Rachel Madcow. I actually made it through the whole thing and only needed a handful of stimulants. Why am I even talking about Rachel Maddow? Because I was watching one week and her ratings exceeded John Hannity's, and she's totally, totally out there. So it kind of shows you the extreme polarization that we have in this country right now. And she's definitely extreme. So As you might predict, she does a little, quote, research, unquote, about Watergate. Notice she does no research about the deep state, which her mind literally doesn't exist. But it's fascinating that she lays out the history of Watergate, and then, of course, is going to go on and say, well, now we're on the Watergate number two. Well, the reality is the current scandal is way, way, way bigger than Watergate, and it's the exact upside-down flipping of what she's talking about. It's she's talking about what the deep state is doing to the current government. So that, to me, is just bizarre. Federal machinery used to screw our enemies. That's what the Obama administration holdovers are doing right now. And they're not the ones in power. They're the ex-government. She's got a huge audience and shows you the state of our disunion. And she's there, and all you can do is not watch. All right, let's get up on to Mr. John Brennan. I'm going to first do a video of that might expose John Brennan to you, a John Brennan that you're perhaps not aware of. That's a short video, and then I'll do another video after that. Hang on. Here's a John Brennan on Islam.
But for more than three decades, I have also had the tremendous fortune to travel the world. And as part of that experience, to learn about the goodness and beauty of Islam. As a college student in the 1970s, I spent a summer traveling through Indonesia, taking in the wonderful landscape, culture, and people of Java and Bali. Despite my long hair, my earring, and my obvious American appearance, I was welcomed throughout that country in a way that is a reflection of the tremendous warmth of Islamic cultures and societies. Like the president during his childhood years in Jakarta, I came to see Islam, not how it is often misrepresented, but for what it is, how it is practiced every day by well over a billion Muslims worldwide. A faith of peace and tolerance and great diversity. And if you permit me, or I should say, ismahli, Bad Indonesia, Safarat ila Misr, wa hunak darast Arabiya fi Jamna Amrikiya, fi Kahira, wa hada fi elfwa, fi sanat elfwa tismaya wa khamsa wa sabayin wa sita wa sabayin. سفارت إلى الأردن وفلسطين والقدس وتونس وبعد مصر ساكن في الشرق الأوسط تقريبا ستة سنة لكن الآن أنا أجوز أنا كنت طالب وشباب لما درست عربية لكن الآن نسيت أكثرية اللغة Kislan, Lisan Kislan. متأسف لكن ممكن إن شاء الله سوف Adros Arabia Maritani, inshallah. Afwan. Now, don't tell the folks who don't speak Arabic what I said, okay? But I did spend time as an undergraduate at the American University in Cairo in the 1970s. And time spent with classmates from Egypt, from Jordan, from Palestine, and around the world, who taught me that whatever our differences of nationality or race or religion or language, there are certain aspirations that we all share. To get an education, to provide for our families, to practice our faith freely, to live in peace and security. And during a 25-year career in government, I was privileged to serve in positions across the Middle East as a political officer with the State Department and as a CIA station chief in Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, I saw how our Saudi partners fulfilled their duty as custodian of the two holy mosques of Mecca and Medina. I marveled at the majesty of the Hajj and the devotion of those who fulfilled their duty as Muslims by making that privilege, that pilgrimage. And in all my travels, the city I have come to love most is Al-Quds, Jerusalem, where three great faiths come together. So much attention is paid to the divisions in that wonderful city.
Well, there you have a glimpse of Mr. Brennan that perhaps you weren't aware of before. Ardent fan of Islam and a man who voted for a communist for president during the Cold War. And there's lots of other stuff on him that I'll get into a little bit later. But I mean, just on those facts alone, you have to ask yourself, how did this dude become director of the CIA? And well, I have a very simple four-word answer. Barack Milhouse Insane Obama. Obama of the insane Iran deal that fortunately current president canned. You have a person who thinks America could be better if they just forgot about their own history and, you know, went with the globalists in some kind of insane world experiment in communism, socialism, or whatever the globalists are into. It's, but I mean, that's the answer. How did this nutcase end up as CIA director? Because of Obama, obviously. Nobody else would have allowed him to work for the CIA. Anyway, up next is a discussion about the Brennan canning on a program on Fox called The Five, which I always find interesting and has multiple commentators. And after they commentate, I'll do a final commentary on Mr. Brennan.
Stunning news out of Washington. President Trump revokes the security clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders reading a statement from the president explaining why.
Any benefits that senior officials might glean from consultations with Mr. Brennan are now outweighed by the risks posed by his erratic conduct and behavior. Mr. Brennan's lying and recent conduct, characterized by increasingly frenzied commentary, is wholly inconsistent with access to the nation's most closely held secrets and facilities, the very aim of our adversaries, which is to sow division and chaos.
Brennan, the now MSNBC contributor, is a constant critic of President Trump. Here he is just last night.
I think Donald Trump has badly sullied the reputation of the office of the presidency with his invective, with his constant disregard, I think, for human decency, as well as his befriending of autocratic leaders around the world, and his continued pursuit of relationships to benefit himself as opposed to the country. I do think that America's standing in the world has also been tarnished. But I think even more fundamentally, what he is doing here in the United States is very polarizing, and he is, I think, the most divisive president we've ever had in the Oval Office.
Fresh reaction from John Brennan on Twitter. Quote, this action is part of a broader effort by Mr. Trump to suppress freedom of speech and punish critics. It should gravely worry all Americans, including intelligence professionals, about the cost of speaking out. My principles are worth far more than clearances. I will not relent. The White House is also now reviewing security clearances of top former intelligence officials and FBI employees, including James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Susan Rice, Peter Strzok, and James Clapper. All right, Judge Jeanine,
oh,
I know you've been following this Brennan situation very closely. They say these people retain their clearances to consult with their successors. I don't think he's doing any consultation now. And just as a professional courtesy, do you believe he has forfeited his professional courtesy by the frenzied rhetoric that he's been exhibiting on cable TV and on Twitter?
Well, he certainly has been engaging in a lot of frenzied behavior and criticism. But here's the bottom line. You're not entitled to a security clearance. You don't have a right to have it. The president has the arbitrary right to take it away. How many people do we know whether or not they have it or don't have it? When does it sunset? And here's a guy who's lied to Congress a million times. That's an exaggeration. But, this, you know, he denied the CIA that he was running improperly accessed computer files of the Senate. It's all in my book, which we'll talk about later.
But, she beat you to the punch.
Yes, yeah. She beat you to the punch.
She's good.
But here's the thing. Look, the guy is, he is, this truth to power nonsense that you need to be able to have this, it's really for an institutional reference. Nobody, Pompeo ain't calling this guy.
Right.
So why does he need it? And you know what? I have no problem with it. They're not entitled to it.
All right, so Juan, Judge Jeanine brought up one of the issues at stake with the fact that he lied about spying on Senate staffers. He also lied to Congressman, he says, well, we don't listen to Americans' phone calls in bulk. And he also lied about the use of the dossier, said it wasn't really considered in the intelligence assessment, which it was. So three things there alone, the guy proffering false information to Congress and to the American people, he doesn't have a great track record when it comes to honesty.
I think he has a great track record, and I think he's a patriot. I tell you, to me, I don't understand why Michael Flynn's not on that list. You have any idea why Mike Flynn's not on that list?
Well, I think we know, Juan.
Oh, I see.
No, I
so
have
Mike
an answer.
Flynn, any Republican, not on the list. What you think about
Comey's
it,
Comey's on the list. Is he still a Republican?
Comey doesn't even have clearance, so that's not necessary. This, again, you know, he puts Comey, he puts McCabe. They don't even have clearance, but he puts them on the list because it, essentially, and you hear this now from the Democrats, he's created an enemies list. So he attacks the press as the enemy of the American people. He attacks his critics. He makes people who work for him sign non-disclosure agreements, host transparency, huh? And then, of course, he's trying to now politicize intelligence gathering. He does not consult with Jim Clapper, his own director of national intelligence, about this move. So to me, this is like so sad and so authoritarian, and yet I suppose all his supporters will just say, big deal.
I think you meant Coates.
Dan Coates,
yeah.
Dana, is this rare? I mean, has this ever happened before?
I think it's not an exaggeration to say it's unprecedented. But as the judge says, the president does have the right to make this decision. But I look at it as this way. Why today? Well, how do you solve a problem like Omarosa? By having something to lead with today. This document is actually dated July 26th. They didn't change that today when they released it.
Oh.
So they've been holding on to it. Maybe because of Brennan's comments last night on MSNBC, they decided that was just the last straw and they decided to move forward. But it did provide the White House a way to pivot to the story that they want to talk about of the day, and that is this issue. It's very clever, the use of the word erratic, because that's not just a word that they pick out of thin air. Erratic is one of the words that you're asked about when you are going through a clearance, or when your friends and colleagues or your former work associates, they'll be asked, did you ever see Jesse exhibit erratic behavior? Because that would be a tell that there might be something wrong with them and they would not be able to deal with that. I do think it looks a little bit like political retaliation, but the president has the ability to do it, so if he wants to do it, fine. I just don't think it actually does anything beyond this news cycle because John Brennan's not going to stop talking. He's not even using his security clearance anyway.
All right. Greg, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Jesse. Your hair is as big as ever.
You've been missed on your book tour. What do you think about this latest clearance revoking?
Well, I think when people say this is unprecedented, that doesn't matter anymore because everything since 2016 is unprecedented. And so when you have complaints about behavior, emotional behavior, Brennan's criticisms of Trump are also pointless because we've been through that. He still won. You can still think he's a jerk. He still beat the pants off you, so get over it. So there are two big reasons here. Brennan is just another person who was broken by 2016. He's like the reverse version of the movie Big. Instead of a child becoming a man, he is transformed from a man to a petulant child by some supernatural, surreal event, which was the 2016 election. This has happened to a lot of people. He's fallen, and he can't get up.
You think this is Trump derangement?
Absolutely. The second reason is, and why his opinion means nothing to me, is back in the 80s, at the height of the Cold War,
thank you,
Brennan voted for a communist in the freest country we have ever seen. He has no standing to be critical about any Russian meddling or any kind of Russian policy, because he didn't just collude, he cheerled. He cheerled at a time when we really needed people there to fight to be an anti-communist. So the fact that he got this far is astounding. I look forward to his book, because I know there will be one. And the other thing about this, I understand the idea of pivoting, but in Trump world, news is bocce ball.
Yep.
So a ball comes, yep. A ball will be Omarosa, and the next ball will be Brennan. But the fact is, you can't tell the difference between that being pivoting or just being another day.
Well, actually,
because there's news every day.
But I also think it was quite strategic.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think
I think they would do it every day. I think they do this every day.
Yeah, you do. Like, you wake up every day thinking you want to be proactive and you end up having to react to things.
Proactive.
But,
it's really good for the skin.
Brennan, last night in the clip that we saw here, he's reacting to Trump calling Omarosa a dog. Mm-hmm. And then, so what Brennan says is that the president has failed to live up to minimum standards of decency. It's disheartening and dangerous for a president to behave in that way for our nation.
How dangerous, though?
How dangerous, how ugly, how disheartening.
Words.
I think Brennan's right on target.
But you know what the problem is, Juan? The problem is that you've got Brennan and Clapper, the people who lied to Congress, who anyone else would be in jail right now. But these are the guys who are monetizing and politicizing. These are the guys who are actually going on television. And if you don't think that security clearance adds to their ability to be lobbyists and consultants and advisors, it's huge. They're monetizing it. Michael Flynn is not. The guy's hiding somewhere.
Right, but I don't think it's monetizing to say that he was the CIA director. He was...
How did he get on MSNBC? With his good
looks? He was the CIA director.
No, but Clapper got on CNN because he lied and said he never leaked anything. Then we find out he leaked something to CNN, and then he's now getting a check from CNN.
Well, let me just say, you have 4 million people, Judge, who have security clearance in the country. I think it's a million plus who have top secret clearance.
1.3 million.
Right. So these guys aren't monetizing. These guys are...
Yeah, that's why they still have...
We need to build a wall.
Yeah, that's why...
What?
We need to build a wall. Get around the people with clearances.
I think what they're doing, he's leveraging his clearance in order to gain credibility when he goes on television and makes these really outrageous statements. Some of these statements, he says the president of the United States is a danger to national security. He suggested Trump met one-on-one with Vladimir Putin because he was hiding something from his own security team. Hmm. He says the president has no credibility, and he says he is a Ponzi scheme artist, comparing him to Bernie Madoff. And he said this is all going to catch up with him, kind of making these veiled threats like, your day is going to come,
Mr. President. He doesn't even need a security clearance, right? So it's like it doesn't necessarily matter. Now that he has the reputation he has, now that he's done what he's done, he will always be able to be on television. He'll always be able to write books. Like, that is not – this doesn't change that for him. But I do think it is professionally – embarrassing.
It
but
is.
You know what? Most Americans agree with what you said Brennan believes, which is that Trump is lying about his relations with Russia and that Trump's not
what?
Honest. Yeah, that's what
surveys show that Americans are not the least bit interested in the Russian story.
Yeah, they all
you have to be very skeptical of somebody this emotional. Brennan is an emotional wreck right now. You can't. There's something going on in his head that's not right.
He's erratic.
He's erratic.
He's erratic.
That's right. That's right.
John Brennan had a little battle going on Twitter that I watched for a while with Chris Peranto, one of the heroes of Benghazi, who was, of course, left out to dry by Brennan and company. And here's part of one of Peranto's responses to John Brennan. Brennan, or caught lying to Congress, or caught spying on presidential candidates, or caught using their position to influence U.S. elections, or caught fabricating stories about attacks on U.S. personnel in Libya, or providing weapons to ISIS-backed militias in Syria. Should I go on at John Brennan? Let me just add one more to that. Or spying on the House Intelligence Community, who was investigating him, and lying about not doing it. Thank you, President Trump, for canceling his security clearance, and I'm sure he's going to do some time in the slammer when this all plays out. So stay tuned for more adventures in the deep state, or as Rachel Maddow would say, Watergate 2.